Day. Amen. But my God, it's good to be here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 read. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall ye meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and when you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, I ask for your power and your grace to move upon your servant. I make sure, Lord, that you continue to decrease me so that you may be increased. Hide me behind your sacred desk. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject, fight for it. Fight for it. The great book of Joshua opens with the call of God to Joshua. Joshua was the chief aide of Moses and the military commander of the armed forces of Israel. God had already called and commanded Joshua to replace Moses upon the death of Moses. Now Moses had just died, and the people had been in deep anguish and mourning over his death for 30 days. As soon as the 30 days of mourning were over, God immediately spoke to Joshua, restating his call to him. God issued an arousing call to Joshua. The people's hearts were gripped with deep sense of grief and anguish, broken over the passing of the man who had led them for so long. Keep in mind that Moses was the father of the nation. Through the guidance of God, Moses had founded and established the nation of Israel. Moses had freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery and had given them the law at Mount Sinai and led them through the wilderness of wanderings. Despite all the trials suffered by both Moses and the people respected and revered, even loved this dear man. When he died, the people were bound to be deeply affected, gripped with an intense, perhaps almost unbearable sense of grief. It seems that Joshua himself had fallen into a spirit of despair over the death of Moses, that he was lingering in grief well beyond what he should. For this reason, God forcibly spoke to the heart of Joshua and gave him an arousing call. Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise and fill the gap. Take up the mantle of leadership. Prepare the people to cross the Jordan of the river into the promised land. What has died in your life you need to stop mourning over? relationships, jobs, careers. What in your life that you need to just let stay dead and buried? See, some people cry when people walk out their life, and some people try to go get people when they walk out. When somebody walk out, just tell them be gone and be off, because if you're not supposed to finish with me, I'm not worried about it. See, you got to just drive your bus. Have you ever rode a bus before? I know some of y'all like Reverend Howe, you're too rich to know about the bus, but have you ever got on the bus and you got somebody get on the bus and they ring the bell, and everybody that start off on the bus don't finish with you. You see what I'm saying? And the bus keeps rolling, and somebody hits a ding and they get off and praise the Lord, and somebody else is at the bus stop and they get on. Some people gonna get on in your life and some people gonna get off in your life. The problem is you need to stop mourning over folk that leave you. You need to stop crying over people that don't understand what your vision is. You need to stop trying to grow, get people that have walked out of your life, baby. When people leave you, let them go. It was time for Joshua to arise and cease his mourning over the death of Moses. It was time for him to take up the mantle of leadership and lead God's people. He was now the appointed leader of the nation, the commander in chief, leading the people to claim their inheritance in the promised land was now his duty, and it was time to begin the mobilization. It was time to make the final preparations to cross the Jordan River and actually into the land that had been promised to God's people for such a long time. But the arousing call was not at all that God had to say to Joshua. God gave three wonderful promises to Joshua and the Israelites. These were ancient promises, promises that have been given to God's people ever since the birth through Abraham. At long last, these promises were to be fulfilled and personally experienced by the Israelites. Their fulfillment was on the verge of taking place. There was the promise of the land. The Israelites were to secure and occupy all the land, every place they marched. Note that God himself gives the land to his people. It is a gift from God himself. However, it was the people's responsibility to march forth and claim the land. See, the promised land was theirs, a gift, but they had to lay claim to the promised land. I get tired of hearing church folk tell me if it was really meant for God, it would never be no problem. Shut your mouth. If it was never a problem when God gives you something as a gift, everybody would be blessed. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to face some lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. God said you can have the land, but you got to take hold of it. The problem with the church is not that we don't pray. The problem is all we do is pray. It was theirs, but they had to march forth, laying hold of the promised land. As they marched forth, they would secure the land that flowed with milk and honey. But they had to march. There was the promise of conquering all enemies. This is a picture of the believer's full and victorious life. As the Israelites marched forth, they would face opposition. There would be enemies who would confront and wage war against them. These enemies would do all they could to defeat the Israelites and either enslave or kill them. But the great promise of God is that of victory and triumph, they would conquer all enemies who opposed them. But how can you conquer somebody if you don't what? Fight. Oh, you're not just going to have my blessing, devil. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent taketh by force. When God give you a blessing, you still have to lay hold of it. There is a promise of the continued unbroken presence and rest of God. The Israelites would defeat all enemies by the presence of God. God promised to be with them, to never leave them nor forsake them. The unfailing presence of God would always be present with this dear people, with his dear people. His unfailing presence would guide his people and give them victory over all enemies. What a promise from God, the glorious promise of his unfailing presence. See, even when you don't think God is there, he's there. In the book of Esther, God's name is never mentioned, but he's in in the shadows. I know you might not have heard God loud in 2017, but he was with you in the hospital room. He was with you on your deathbed. He was with you when your son got locked up. He was with you when your mama went crazy. He was with you when your husband was tipping out on you. He may not have said anything, but he was in the shadow. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And remember the poem with the footprints in the sand, and it was 2 footprints, and all of a sudden it was one. God has been carrying you, but he ain't been talking to you. Every now and then, God will be silent just to see if you're going to be faithful and do what it is he asked you to do. Oh, you better hear me right now. Every time you pray to God, he may not answer you right away. He may just be quiet. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had a sister girl that you talk to, and every now and then they sitting on the phone, they mad at you? You know they hear you. They might breathe and make a noise. God is always and ever and present help. God gave a forceful charge to Joshua, a charge to be strong and courageous. Note that the charge is repeated 3 times in Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9. God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous in his task, that of leading Israel to inherit the promised land. He was the military commander of an army that faced formidable enemies, and he knew that years of warfare lay ahead. The land promised by God was a vast territory possessed by a number of powerful nations whose people were brutal and savage, wicked and evil to the core. Their cup of iniquity had become so full that God was now using the Israelites as his instrument of judgment. Do you know some people giving you holy hallelujah on your job because you chosen by God? Do you understand that people on your job would give you some problems just because you a light in the midst of darkness? Do you understand that they get mad at you because you are able to withstand the stuff they throwing at you, and sometimes you don't even know they throwing it at you? Do you know God is using you to judge that girl in the next cubicle who keep lying on you and keep hating on you, and you don't even know what's going on? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth right now? Some people on your job have been trying to destroy you. They've been lying on you. They've been hating on you. They've been trying to get in your business. They tried to get you fired. And they looking at you mad when you walk in the door, not because of what you did, but because they don't understand why they can't make you fall. They don't understand, I keep on hating on this woman. I keep on kicking dirt on this man, yet he keeps on standing. They not mad at you. They mad at themselves because they can't do nothing to destroy you. See, the problem is some of us get scared when we see the enemy. Yeah, the problem is the enemy was already there. You thought sister girl just flipped out. She been not liking you. God just knew you weren't ready to have it revealed to you just yet. Yeah, it's amazing when people leave and walk out and say they don't want to do this and they don't want to do that. And sometimes leaders come to me, I'm like, all right, I knew they were going to leave. Eh? Because God won't let you see what you can't handle. So when God is telling Joshua to be of good courage, the enemy was already in the land. He just had kept a shield or a blinder up so Joshua wouldn't see it. But the minute Joshua was strong enough to be able to take the land, God showed it to him. There are some things in your life that God has purpose for you that you have not seen, ears have not heard, eyes have not seen, because God know you're not ready for it yet. But the minute you're ready for it, he gonna show you the danger that's been around you the whole time. You've been surrounded by enemies. He said, though yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. It's death around you. It's this shadow that you can't see. He leads me beside the still water. Still water sometimes can mean a blessing, because you can't feed sheep on running water because they're too hairy and clumsy. And if they get in running water, they'll drown. But also still waters can represent dead waters, which can represent your enemies, which means God has been navigating you around your evil job all these years, and all of a sudden you thought brother man flipped out. He already didn't like you. He didn't like you the day you got hired. But somebody, I read, when I get some enemies, You better start pulling out your little bib. Deacon Spells eat like that sometimes. Y'all ate with Deacon Spells. Get it ready, baby, because God said, I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. If you don't have no enemies, you're not going to be blessed. But I just want to have three or four people that got some enemies that are just shouting, thank God, because you understand that if I didn't have no enemies, there wouldn't be no precursor in my life to be blessed. You need one or two enemies around you just to fulfill scripture in your life. Oh, in facing such enemies year after year, the days of warfare and the sight of maiming and killing could easily begin to wear upon Joshua. Every day you sending husbands and fathers and sons to war. Have you been in a battle so long that you wonder when your daylight gonna come? Come on, somebody. I know the scripture said that weeping may endure for a night, but can I talk to a few saints that done had some long nights? Some night that you've been sick for so long, and you said, Lord, you said weeping may endure for a night, that is singular. This has been a long night. Can I get some joy? But what a prophetic song sang by the choir. Because you shall be blessed if you faint not. See, some of us get weary in our well-doing. But if you don't get weary in your well-doing, you shall be blessed in your due season. Come on, somebody. You like a tree planted beside the rivers of living water that will yield fruit in its season. Don't get mad and faint now. Just wait till your season. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Can you wait till your season? Don't get mad at Sister Gilliam because she blessed. Wait till your season. Don't get mad because Sister Ross because she blessed. Wait on your season. There's a season for each and every one of us. It may not be at the same time, but if you just take up courage and faint not. I'm going to preach a sermon called the in-between time, because see, we know God is the Alpha and the Omega, but do we understand that we need to take care of the in-between time? You got to have some curve between that Alpha and that Omega, because faith without works is dead. And if Joshua didn't get bold and be courageous and stop being crying and feeling sorry for himself because his leader had died, he never would have possessed the land. Can I talk to some praying saints? The scripture says, watch and pray. Faith without works is dead. I know you keep on praying, but after you pray, you need to get off your blessed assurance and do something. God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous in obeying God, in obeying his law, his word. He was to obey everything that Moses had written. Note exactly what God told Joshua to do with the word of God. He was to obey all God's law. He was not to turn away from God's word. He was never to stop sharing God's law or word. He was to meditate on God's word day and night. This would assure obedience. The result of his obedience would be prosperity and success. All that he had, all that he and the Israelites put their hands on, would prosper and be successful. God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous in overcoming fear and discouragement. Having to face enemy after enemy, year after year, having to make a decision to send young men and husbands and all the people to battle. But he had to learn how to stay steadfast and learn how to encourage himself. Oh, can I talk to some saints? Have you ever had a good day or even a bad day and you couldn't call nobody? And every time somebody always calls you so you can listen to their problems and listen to their triumphs. But every time you got something to say, they got to go to the bathroom or they got a phone call or they can't listen to you and you don't have anybody to encourage you, yet you always encouraging everybody else. Well, baby girl and brother man, let me tell you something right now. You got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. I don't care how many bad days you got. If you can't find your pastor, if you can't find your deacon, you better learn how to lay hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the demon of sickness in the name of Jesus. I deliver my child in the name of Jesus. If I can't find my pastor, if I can't find my deacon, you know what? No matter where I go, there I am. And if I can just encourage myself in the Lord, I know I'll be all right.
Hey! You got to be like the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Keep talking to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not a past tense. It's a present tense. It has to keep on going. Not having heard and not being able to hear, but it comes by hearing the word of God. And wherever you go, there go your mouth. If you can just keep your mouth on praising God and putting scriptures on your situation, you will be all right. Encourage yourself like David. Don't you let anybody make you feel bad and make you feel down and out. You got to get in my hand and take all. You got to be like Beyonce. It's just me, myself, and I, baby. All I need is the Holy Ghost, and I lay hands on myself. Oh, we must be strong and courageous in obeying God. We must keep his law, his commandments, and holy word. We must never turn away from his word. Rather, we must meditate on it day and night. If we obey God, living in his word and keeping his commandments, we will prosper and be successful in whatever we do. Whatever we put our hands on, we will be blessed by God. God will give us purpose, achievement, and fulfillment throughout life. But note, this promise is given only to those who obey God. See, I know a lot of times I make decisions, and sometimes I talk to my leaders because it makes no sense, but I know what God says. God ain't in the making sense business. God is in the obedient business. And a lot of times God may not make any sense to us, but his ways are our ways and his thoughts are our thoughts. The problem is we just need to learn that even when our thoughts don't align with his, when we hear him and we got to obey what he tells us to do. See, we must be strong and courageous as we march throughout life. Fear and discouragement can be conquered only as we are strong and courageous. The problem is some of us think that we are. It's not that faith or courage is the absence of doubt or fear. I'm scared a lot of times. I be nervous when I got to preach all the time. That's why I joke in the beginning. Some of y'all faces ain't the most friendly faces. You be mad every Sunday. So I'm nervous. I come with fear and trembling in what I do. But the boldness of God allows me to stand here even when some folk don't want me here. Oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. The boldness caused me to stand here and love those who I know don't even like me at all. The boldness of God would allow you to walk in whatever God has ordained you to walk in. You know, it makes no sense. I be looking at folk jumping out of airplanes with no parachute, with just flying like little squirrels or something. And I mean, I be seeing a whole bunch of stuff they do, and I be like, y'all crazy. And I said it out loud one day when I was at a restaurant looking at something, and my friend said, oh, you crazy too, because you sure put up with a lot of stuff at your job. And I thought about this. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Whatever God has called you to do, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's to be a custodian, whether it's to be a politician, whether it's to be an administrator, whether it's to be a lawyer or a doctor, whatever you do is going to be some enemies that's going to try to keep you from taking the territory God has, and you got to gird up your loins and take hold to it. He promised it to you, but he didn't say it was going to be easy. That's the whole catch. You can have it, but it's going to cost something. Let me get out of here. You got to learn how to stand. He will deliver us over the enemy that confronts us as long as we stand strong. But we are like Joshua. When he stood on the banks of the Jordan looking over into the promised land, the Lord told him that every piece of land where he put his foot had already been given to him. Joshua hadn't crossed the Jordan River yet. He wasn't living in the land. Enemies were still living there, and there were battles ahead. But the fact was, the land belonged to Joshua and the Israelites. God had given it to them, past tense, done deal, established work. It sounds like a paradox to say it's yours and then say go take it. But this is the position God puts us in. The problem many people have is that they don't know what is already theirs. And even when they know, they don't believe it enough to act on it. Do you believe God owns what you need? Do you believe God has the power to give you what you need? Do you believe he wants to meet your needs? See, this is the problem. This is the thing. You know how you have a Christmas present and it's in wrapping paper and you got to open it up to see what's in it? All right. Your gift is in wrapping paper. But it's some paper don't nobody want. It's wrapped up in problems. It's wrapped up in scandals. It's wrapped up in lies. It's wrapped up in haters. It's wrapped up in betrayers. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. There is a land that God has called you to possess. See, you know why the reason why God allows me to be attacked out loud and all in the open on social media with the people you do Bible study with and everything else? Because God want to show you how the Bible walks out. The reason why I get attacked is so you can live vicariously through me. You better hear me, baby. When God said that the land and Calvary was our land, I didn't care how many people got mad. I didn't care how many people came against me. I didn't care how hot the church conference got. Why? Because God said it's already yours. And I know if it's already mine, all I gotta do is unwrap the gifting paper. I gotta go through the haters. I gotta go through the liars. I gotta go through the scandals. I gotta go through the tradition. I gotta go through the anger. I'm gonna unwrap what God has promised me. And I promise you, if you fall, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I know you want to be a lawyer, but you got to pass the bar. It's wrapped up in bar paper. I know you want to be a teacher, but it's wrapped up in your certification test, but it's already yours. The problem with church folk is you thought it was going to be easy. You thought God was just going to drop manna out of heaven. You thought God just was going to give you stuff without you working for it. God said you got to lay hold and take territory from the devil. See, the problem is you keep waiting on the devil to take your stuff. The problem is God said that we shall kick in the gates of hell. That's offense. I'm tired of the church being on defense. You know why so many demons in here trying to take over spots in leadership, trying to be deacons, trying to be trustees, trying to be pastors? You know why? It's because we're not kicking in the gates of hell. We're supposed to be taking over territory from the devil. The devil getting too bold because we punked out. One thing about America, they're going to take the bums to your house. They went crazy in 9/11. You came here? Now, we've been bombing everywhere else. Keep it real. After a while, somebody gonna get mad and shoot back. But the audacity that they actually attacked us on 9/11, we were like, what? That's the attitude the church should have. How dare you let the devil just march in church and do what they want to do? How many times have I heard, oh, that's just so-and-so. They always like that. The devil is a lie. Get up out of here. We too defensive. We need to get on the offense. God said, go out there and take possession of that land. It's yours. Go get it. Them your apartment complexes. I'm not saying we got to buy them, but we're supposed to be infiltrating and bringing kingdom principles there. That's your police department. Some folk got mad because I'm a volunteer police chaplain. I'm supposed to take territory from the devil. It's too many black folk getting shot for me not to be a chaplain. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what kingdom people do. What they told me, Sister Jennifer, when I started being a volunteer, before I took this oath, they said I was supposed to be loyal to the police. I said, no. Don't get it twisted. I'm here to help you when you're right. But I'm here to help. I'm a mediator. I'm a pastor. What I'm going to tell you is I'm a liaison between you and the community. If the community right, although I'm going to be sitting at the table with you, I'm going to let you know it ain't right. If the community wrong, even though I pastor in the community, I'm going to let them know. But my loyalty is not to you. My loyalty is to God. I'm here because too many black males getting shot by the police. So you need a kingdom representative to make sure I hold you accountable to what you do. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, the problem is when police get shot, this is what I started telling them this. You got to bring kingdom folk. The reason why when police get shot, what they do is instead of sitting down and mourning for a while, they go out on the street to escape their upsetness. You feel me? So when you go on the street, you already upset. You see somebody that say one thing wrong to you, you mad. And I told him, look, so we started setting up these things called the listening ears and stuff like that to make sure that we're able to counsel them when they upset. No, you need to go take a break, bro. Don't you go out here, because I know you recognize me with my badge on, but if I'm walking down the street by myself, I don't know what you're going to know. You have to learn how to take territory from the devil. The problem is church folk think that the pew is your seat. The pew is, this ain't the game, this the locker room, baby. You get a pep talk from me. I get you ready on Sunday morning. You come midweek on Wednesday so I can send you back into the world. This the locker room, baby. This any given Sunday, but this ain't the game. The reason why so many church folk argue with folk, because they think this the game. This ain't the game. The field is the world. Anyway, let me get back to my sermon. The first step to possessing our inheritance is knowing and believing God has what we need. The second step is personally taking possession of what has been decreed, bequeathed, or given to us. Most believers seem to spend their entire lives reading the will and shouting over the contract, but never moving out and obtaining what God has given them. We sing about the promises, talk about them, write music about them, teach about them, read about them, and yet never live in them. Why? Because we aren't willing to fight the spiritual battles that must be fought in order to take possession over what is rightfully ours. It's going to be some fights in the church, because the same way God plant folk, the devil do too. Y'all know the devil is a faithful tither. If you got 100 folk, 10 of them devils. Can I keep it real? I'm getting mad. I don't care. If you got 200, that's why I was texting the pastor back this morning, and he was telling me how he need to go to another church because they so traditional and they don't listen and they get mad every time they do something. I was like, dude, don't you know that's every church in America? It's people. You got to lead. God promised it to you, but he said you have to fight for it. Yeah. Don't you let, see, the biggest trick the devil do is make you think he ain't real. To make you get your little doctor degree and your educated self, and you know how to exegete, and you know how to do all the stuff. You know systematic theology, and you know how to rightfully divide the text. You know what Epicureanism is. You know homiletics and hermeneutics. You know all the preaching tools of everything, and you get so dignified with your educated self, and you think the devil ain't real. That's why he winning. Some pastors don't even believe the devil is real. He's always there to wreak havoc. The same way God raises up saints, it's the same way the devil raises up devils. I'm going to just leave it alone. It's a new year. I'll get you next Sunday. Everything you could possibly need is available to you in the full measure you could ever desire. Let me assure you today, you are rich beyond measure. But you still have to lay hold of what God has promised to you and what God has already given you. The kingdom of God again suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. God said to Joshua, and I'm almost finished right here, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Joshua had work to do. It was going to take strength and courage to occupy a land infested with enemies. What gave Joshua the strength and courage to go forward was knowing that the Lord was with him and that he had already assured Joshua victory. See, you know me, this is my problem, Sister Gilliam. I don't never think I'm going to lose. My problem is, y'all like? They say it's time to go. I done went too long, huh? Yeah, it's time to stop. But the thing about it is, the problem is with me, I know I'm not going to lose. The pager with me, I hate I got to go through the battle. God, I got to go through this battle again. You know I'm going to win. Get him. I know I'm going to win. Remember I told y'all I'm like Bruce Lee. Don't you come, but if you want to. As long as I'm standing on the principles of God, I know I'm going to win. My problem is God got to work patience, more patience in me. But I didn't got to the point where I stopped shooting everybody so quick. I let them shoot themselves now. I don't be worried about sitting nobody down. You know what? Why are you going to sit yourself down? Because once you realize you can't move me, you're going to leave. I don't fight no more. But the problem I still get is, oh, God, now hold on now. You told me December the 31st this stuff was going to happen. What are you, God? See, you have to know you're going to win. See, I got the first step down. I know I'm going to win every time. Why do they keep going against Perry Mason? They know he's going to win. If he don't, it's going to be continued. Exactly. Part two, you know what I'm saying? Huh? Why? You know he gonna win every week, yet they continue and it's the same district attorney. Dude, you just cut a deal. After a while, when you stand strong, see, this is what I used to think, and I'm gonna sit down and be quiet. This is what I used to think, Reverend Howe. I thought when the Bible said that my enemies would be at peace with me, I was interpreting it. I was exegeting it wrong. I guess I was eisegeting. Because I was thinking that it meant my enemies was going to like me. And I was going around trying to make everybody love me. You love me. You my member. You love me. You don't love me yet. Oh, you don't love me yet. But then, Brother Mark, because I realize when it says your enemy will be at peace with you, it's like they're going to give up and leave you alone. They're going to be like, you know what? Ain't nothing I can do about Marcus. Ain't nothing I can do with Deacon Spells. Ain't nothing I can do with Minister Allen. Ain't nothing I can do with Deacon Smith. Ain't nothing I can do with Deacon Allen. Ain't nothing I can do with Deacon Isaac. Even if he spell his name wrong with one Z, I can't do nothing. And after a while, they're going to leave you alone. Because when you stand strong, they're going to realize no matter how much artillery they throw at you, they can't win. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once you know it. But it's knowing God that gives us strength and courage we need to step out in faith and obtain all that he has for us. The degree of our faith is based upon our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Tremendous life-changing, abundant blessings are waiting for us if we only pursue them and possess them in faith. You got to fight for it. And let me tell you this. You can only be blessed to the threshold of the pain you can endure. Can you stand to be blessed? It's really deeper than you think. Can you take the pain to be blessed is what they're saying. If you're really going to be blessed, you got to learn how to handle haters and not worry about them. See, if you can't handle one hater in your cubicle, you can't handle 10 haters with the corner office. You got to learn how to be able to take the pain on your level. Like our brother, hold on, Nygaard, I said it right. Like Brother Nygaard, he began to tell us how he went through his pain and how he went through things. And that's probably preparing him for what he's about to get through, because you know people are going to lie on you and talk about you, but you've been through pain already. When you can't handle one level of pain, you can't go to the next level. Are you ready for your next blessing in 2018? Well, this is what I got to tell you before I sit down. If you want your next blessing, you're going to have to fight for it. God has given it to you, but you're going to have to fight for it. You have to fight for what God has promised you. He said, look here, Joshua, it's your land. Now go get it. Oh, yeah, some enemies there. Oh, yeah, they big. Oh, yeah, they got weapons and stuff. But, you know, it's still yours. Hold on, God. It's mine or the enemies in it? Oh, yeah, the enemies are there. But it's still yours. For real? Hold on. Enemies there. Hold on. Everybody ain't going to agree with me whenever I have a meeting, but still supposed to go get this. Can I talk to some CEOs and some business folk? If you ever have 100% people agree with you, rethink your idea. If I ever step in a church conference and everybody agree, I'd be like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Because when God gives you a vision, it's going to overwhelm somebody. And everybody not going to be on the same level you going. If everybody understands where you going on your own. It's only when you have resistance, it's only when you have pushback that you really know that it's a vision from God. Oh, I'm through with it now. Okay. I'm through. I'm done. I fight for it.